Our world is dying, politicians are lying, and just when you feel like crying, sit and have a listen to people who have shit themselves.
Hello, I'm Evie.
I'm Claudia, and we are the hosts of The Poodcast, a podcast trying to break down the poo taboo.
Sí, got it, though.
Oh, that was good.
Thank you.
And we have a guest this week.
Yes, we do. Her name is...
Sorry. Can we get our words out today? Jesus.
No, we can't. Zena Knox.
The fabulous Zena Knox, the
so
author.
So many goth letters in her.
What's a goth letter?
You know, the Zs, the Ys, the Xs.
That is, yeah, she's pretty cool. She's a pretty cool lady. And the whole name Zena Knox is probably the coolest name I've ever heard.
Yeah, it is.
And she's an author. She's written the hilarious and very insightful book, YA fiction, called Shitbag.
And the I in shit is an exclamation mark.
Yeah, so if you're Googling it already, just be careful what you might get on your little search there.
Your search.
So we'll be speaking to her a bit later today. But first things first, Evie, how's your bum and your tum?
My tum is really good because I've just had some toast that you made for me with vegan Marmite that you got from Aldi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gluten-free, and normal Marmite is not gluten-free. Little did I know that just down the road from my flat in Aldi, if I look properly, I will find... I've never looked.
You opened your fucking eyes.
If I just go down the correct fucking aisle, then I'm going to get some because my tum is feeling really nice. And my appetite's a bit all over the show at the moment. I'm not doing well with meals, but I always, always fancy Marmite. I want something quite plain and simple, like a bit of toast, a bit of Marmite. And that's... You've made me tea and toast.
I feel like...
How could I not be pleased with that?
It's Marmite like Ryan Gosling. Like, you always fancy him. He's quite simple, quite plain, but actually...
He's a... Yeah.
Just a himbo. Phenomenal.
Yeah. I don't think he actually is a himbo, but he gives himbo, doesn't he?
What the fuck's himbo?
A himbo.
Oh my God, sorry. I thought...
That scared me.
I thought there was someone in my flat. It was upstairs. That scared the fucking shit out of me.
Someone breaking in your new yellow door.
Oh my God. What's a himbo?
A himbo is like a bimbo, but a boy. A himbo.
Do you think Ryan Gosling is a himbo?
No, I don't.
I think he's got the smarts.
I think so too, but I would quite like... I'm the market for a himbo.
Nice little himbo.
A fucking stupid old himbo with Labrador energy. That's perfect.
Line up.
I don't think we've got a single himbo. A himbo is never going to listen to this podcast. If you're a himbo, email in.
Well, maybe. Maybe they've accidentally clicked on it thinking it's something else.
Actually, yeah, they're probably the kind of person that would search the word poodcast or accidentally misspell podcast.
I reckon there's at least two himbos that listen to this. Somebody was listening to this podcast the other day in Saudi Arabia, so please shout out if it's you.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know, can you believe it?
Claudia, how's your bum and tum?
Well, it's been better than this week because I'm on my period, so it's never super fun.
No, sorry.
But we had a bad incident in our marriage this week where we both woke up on the Saturday morning feeling absolutely dreadful. Me because I had really bad period pains. And Rich because he was really hungover.
Classic.
And we're both lying there, kind of like staring, like, oh my God, I feel like shit. Oh my God, I feel like shit. Oh, I really need to go to the toilet. Yeah, me too. And then I suddenly remembered that I was supposed to go to the shop the day before and get loo roll.
Mm-mm.
Didn't do that, and had wine with my friend instead. So
nice. Thanks. Good.
I thought it was a better idea. And so there was, I would say, about a quarter of loo roll, of our loo roll.
What do you mean, a quarter like, of a roll?
Yeah, left.
That's okay.
Well, not when you had me going through what I was going through, him going through with what he was going through. So we started trying to pitch to each other about who we thought could get through the next, because it was also piercing it down with rain outside. So like, who wouldn't be able to get through without going to their toilet trip? And I made the very, I think, rash decision that this was self-inflicted from him. Like, this is his fault. If he then shits himself, that's on him. Whereas I'm going through womanly issues. It's not my fault.
Oh God, yeah.
I deserve the loo roll.
The sympathy is with you for sure.
I need the loo roll.
Of course you do. I'm not going to give it to some fucking man that drank too many pints. I mean, cry me a fucking river.
You know, so obviously we settled it the only way one can. Thumb war.
Oh, he's going to win that, Claude.
Yeah, he fucking won, didn't he?
Are you kidding me?
So then the only other way to settle it is to bleed on like him. Release the whole, you know, fake tears of like...
But it was...
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was kind of real tears because I was on my period. But it was like, you don't understand the pain I'm going through. And inside I'm thinking, if you don't fucking give me that blue roll, I swear to God you will...
I'll fuck you up.
...ever want to have sex with me again if you see what's about to happen.
Oh my God, what a threat.
Yeah, so I won. Yay for me. And then we had to go for a walk with our friends that have got two small children. And I've never seen a man walk more like a cowboy in my whole life. It was absolutely hilarious.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because we had to get the Uber pretty soon. Mm. We didn't have time to go get more loo roll. And we met them in a park. So we were both like, there'll be...
So he didn't go to the toilet?
No.
That's disgusting. Just go and shower, surely.
Go and...
If you don't have enough loo roll...
Just... Shit in the shower?
Of course that's not what I mean. Don't shit in the shower. Shit in the toilet and then have a shower.
Oh yeah, that didn't even come up as an option.
That's mental. Why would that not be? Why is the first option just don't poo? I can't hold in poos though. I can't bear constipation. I can't bear holding in poos. It makes me too upset.
Well, then don't come stay at my house.
I did and I used a lot of your toilet.
Yeah, Joe, actually that's why we haven't got any wrong.
Is that just
because old Evie Killip came and paid us a visit?
And so I did. Yeah, there's a really roundabout way of you telling me it's my fault.
We got fucking none. I didn't even think about that, but now I will tell you it's your fault. Well, when you see Maswin, you can fucking tell him it's your fault that he now walks like
John Wayne.
Yeah, John Wayne. I was about to say Judy Jetson.
Who the fuck's that? Sorry, what are the odds of me seeing your husband as well?
He's not real.
He's never here. I'm not going to see him. Well, he can go over it. He can buy his own fucking toilet paper. I didn't even use that much. I did bring my own packet of tissues and I brought my own packet of tissues today.
You've done very well. Well done. Claps for you.
Thanks. I was blowing my nose so, so loudly.
What a sick...
I need to do it now.
Oh, mate. The cold I had as well after you left while I'm blaming you
really,
for stuff.
Yeah, because I did have a cold.
You are in big trouble. Oh, my... Diddly
well, it
days.
Sounds fine now.
Yeah, it's fine now.
Mine was like 3 weeks long. You got off lightly.
I was at work and one of the kids was like, why can't you open your eyes? I'm like, I'm fine.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was so ill and mate, I was like licking your plates and everything.
I licked my face. What else was I supposed to do?
Quite. Should we get our guest on?
I reckon
we get
so,
not a big
mate.
Argument.
Thumb war? Today, we are talking to author Zena Knox about her brilliant book, Shitbag, a book based on Knox's own experience with acute ulcerative colitis. Shitbag was described by The Guardian as a superb YA debut that conveys the reality of managing life with an ostomy, and Cosmopolitan named it one of the best new books out in June 2023. Welcome, Zena. How are your bum and your tum doing today?
The usual, a bit dodgy, but I mean, that is normal for me.
The usual air of dodginess.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
That sounds about right for us as well.
Yeah, I think
it?
So. Usual air. Got you on today because we'd like to talk to you about your book, Shitbag.
Yep.
Which you very kindly sent us copies of. So could you just talk to us about, for the listeners, the premise of your book and why you chose to write it?
Yeah, it's a YA book, so it's for teenagers. And it's based on a 16-year-old girl who is living her life. She's sporty. She's a bit... sassy, as the Americans might call it, and then suddenly she wakes up in hospital and she's been given a permanent, a temporary ileostomy bag, which is a poo bag on her tummy. And instead of going to loo normally, she now poos into a bag and she doesn't react that well to it. And the story is about her learning to deal with the bag. And her new nickname, Shitbag, because she can sometimes be a little bit of a shitbag.
I love it. There's such a brilliant kind of dark humour to the book. I know it's kind of referenced towards like Fleabag, and that seems really fitting. And Freya, the character in the book, seems to use humour as such a good coping mechanism. Have you found that plays a part in your experience? Why did you go for that such dark humour route?
I mean, yes, it's me. It's totally me. but amped up, I would say. I don't really hold back. I am well-named called Zena because I am a bit of a sort of warrior princess in everything I ever do. And I think I just let rip and really enjoyed letting her not hold back ever and just be you know, be like that. I think there's a really, I think when you're dealing with something stressful, like body image and bowel related things, there is, it's such a sort of teetering on the edge of insanity and losing, you know, everything about yourself,
yeah. Yeah.
that I think it's quite easy to sort of fall into humor because you literally have to. It's that old adage of you either laugh or you cry or you completely fall apart or you rage, which she flick-flacks between humor and raging.
It's yeah. really interesting observation as well for that you've sort of set it in that time where in her sort of like GCSEs, and I think that's a really interesting age because mm-hmm. that's where you're more than ever becoming aware of your body image and maybe developing your sense of humor at the same time. So yeah. why did you choose it to be in that time?
It's definitely a very much a threshold moment in your life, I think. That whole sort of 16-year-old thing where you're legal to like do certain things as well, I think you kind of don't know what to do with yourself, and it is such a sort of fragile, I think body image and self-image of who you are is just so fragile, and everyone around you, you're sort of either mirroring people or you're trying to work out how different you are from somebody. I actually went from an all-girls school to a boys' school at age 16. There's another author I did a writing course with years ago, and I don't remember who he referenced, but he said that this other person had said that they felt that when you write for teenagers or children, quite often you'll choose an age group where you actually had quite a sort of transitional, important, you know, time in your life. And I do think actually that transition for me was quite epic. And that was a couple of years before I then got my sort of bowel problems. That was more when I was 18, but the 16 was me going from this girls' school to the boys' school and nicknames. And I do think there's sort of the sort of pain of having dodgy nicknames from, because boys are awful sometimes. It's easy to tap into the when you kind of got that pain, but I think it's actually almost easier to really show. If it was like an autobiography, I couldn't probably have shown you what, you know, me being able to blur the edges and say it's fiction, but it's based on facts. Nobody knows exactly what's completely happened to me. And I love that mm-hmm. mask and being able to hide. It means yeah. I can be freer with how graphic I can be as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes complete sense.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you're talking about nicknames as well. Yeah. That's what's so brilliant is kind of when Freya takes ownership of, you know, the nickname given to her by her ex, Shitbag.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'm going to start calling myself Shitbag. Yeah. And we were having this conversation trying to remember what we were called as teenagers. I mean, I used to get the ginger ones all the time. There's a real powerful message in this book about taking something that people throw at you as an insult and owning it. And I kind of wish I'd done that as a teenager. I think it's fantastic. And is what's the message that you want children to kind of take away from your book?
I do really want people to be okay to be different, because I think especially in this day and age, we're talking about TikTok and things like that for my next book that will be coming out, which is totally different but similar at the same time. And there's so much with TikTok that we're not even verbalizing what we think because we're miming to sound bites and we're following trends. And I just think mm-hmm. actually we could easily fall into the fact that we're all trying to mirror each other and to fit in too much. And I really would like people to be okay with being different, okay to be flawed, and rejoice in it to a degree, or just go, right, well, yeah, I'm me, and if I'm too much for you, go find less.
It's such a powerful message. And have you managed to, I saw you doing a couple of book signings, have you managed to speak to any young people that have read your book that might have had a similar experience?
There's absolutely loads of people. I didn't know, in a way I wrote it for people who don't know about ostomies and don't know about these inflammatory bowel conditions, because I'm not wanting to preach to anybody who's living this experience in a slightly different way to me. It's not, we all have our different journeys and we all have our different things that have happened to us, and we all deal with it differently. And I don't in any way want to preach to somebody that their experiences any different, you know, any lesser. And if they're struggling, then absolutely that's so important for them to be able to take care of themselves and not have to like fight all the time as well. So I'm really comfortable with that. But the education side of it was just really important for people who didn't know about it. However, I was delighted to have such endorsement and recognition from people who have been through very similar, slightly different, or relatively quite different conditions, and even other chronic illnesses that they completely identified by with this sort of being inside the body experience of the book and looking out and feeling that sort of separation from their gang or separation from real life. It was a surprise, but a delightful surprise to have that sort of endorsement from the community, so to speak.
Yeah, that's really special. And teenagers, I think, are so tough for young people anyway. And we actually have quite a few parents that listen to our podcast that either have a chronic illness themselves or have a child that has a chronic illness. What do you think adults can do to support teenagers going through health difficulties like this?
I think they can listen, and I think they can be there beside the teenager or even younger. And that's the really big thing about inflammatory bowel conditions, is there's an awful lot of children who are absolutely able to advocate for their own health with medical staff from the age of 6, 7, 8, because they're an expert in what's going on in their body. And a surgeon isn't, actually, because they're just not living it day and night. And I feel incredibly strongly that the medical, especially certain types of surgeons, can be quite hubristic and think they're God, and especially the male ones. Get delightful, amazing ones, but some think that
the blank I filled in.
Exactly. Yeah. But I just think parents can actually sit alongside and be there and let the young person speak, but be there to endorse and go, yes, I agree. But give them their voice and allow them to advocate for themselves, I think is just I think all of us should be doing it in general. It doesn't have to be this sort of scenario, but that is exactly what I would love any reader now and whatever I write going forward to be able to advocate and sort of stand out for themselves and be supported by their friends and family.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I think, you know, we've spoken to about that issue many times, in that either not being believed in the medical profession or it being in your head or stress caused by stress. And actually sometimes just listening and being believed and heard is all we really need.
And I don't think it's necessarily young people. I would just really like to add that as a female, it's rife and it's still happening now. And it makes my blood boil, and I am very short and sharp and quick. I just won't stand for people not listening to me or respecting me. And as a result, maybe just move on and find somebody else, to look after my health.
It's really hard though, isn't it? When you go to a medical professional and you kind of, for me anyway, it's been a big learning curve. Sometimes afterwards the appointment, I reflect and go, hang on, either that's not what I said, or you've not listened to me, or you've dismissed me, or you've basically just asked me if it's possible that I'm pregnant, and actually you've not really heard what I've said. And I think that takes a lot of courage and experience to develop that courage to say, actually, hang on, you've not heard what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
My pain's real.
I mean, I had an experience where I came out of a medical appointment once and I burst into tears, but I did it as I was leaving. And I got a phone call from a person on the reception about 5 minutes later saying, we saw you came crying out your appointment. Can I just ask, was that something because of the emotions you were feeling because of the appointment, or because of the way you were made to feel in that appointment? And
that's
when
amazing.
I said yes, they'd said they'd had similar complaints about this person.
Man.
And did I want to take it any further? And I said, it was all like a musculoskeletal specialist thing that I was having to go through. And I was only like 23. I didn't really know what I was doing. And so I said no. I was like, oh, no, I'm fine. And then I got a phone call later on that day from that doctor with the most lukewarm apology I think I've ever heard in my life. And I think the raid in that, I actually then really kicked off on the phone. But it was annoying that it took that for me to then really start to advocate for myself and just say I couldn't believe how much he hadn't listened to me and how forceful he'd been with my body and all this stuff. It was awful. But I think even things like reading your book, and I know you said the word sassy earlier with Freya, I think that's such a skill that not everybody has that they might have to learn to actually stick up for themselves. Power to the people that can do that, and the rest of us are still learning.
I think my recommendation of that, because I've actually had a couple of interactions lately where I really went in, and my husband luckily went with me, but he sat and said nothing. But he's very tall and big, and it was in relation to a child that I was, you know, I have a baby. So basically there had been something happened with medical staff, and I literally went in with a suite of terms that I was ready for. And I actually took a beta blocker beforehand so that my voice was calm and lower, because when I get stressed, it sounds like I'm sort of like angry, but actually I'm almost strangling myself. So I took a beta blocker beforehand and I just went really low and calm. And I used terms like medical gaslighting and this, and I just literally, I'd rehearsed all the arguments they were going to counter with, and I just went in and just like floored them. And I would say rehearse and have certain smart terms prepared, yeah, and just have them, and if you want to pretend that you're taking notes, have them written down and just go for them. And I at one stage they're saying, oh, you must be very anxious, and I said, you need to be very careful the language you're using against women, because that's basically weaponized language that you're using against people. I was like literally going for it, and they were just like
so good.
Yeah, so I just,
it's that having those notes, because then you can go, I've said that and I've said that, whereas sometimes it can just go out your head.
Yeah. So yeah.
It's like gladiator.
Yeah, go for it.
I love it. You mentioned briefly in things that you're writing that's coming up. Can you just tell us a bit about what's your next
book? Yeah, I noticed that they've sort of put the blurb up, but they've not announced it. So I'm not sure if I'm able to say, but I'm
sure. You're like, no.
Yeah. But it's very much about sort of female ownership of one's body and not at the hand of somebody else. And I really enjoy talking about things that people find very uncomfortable. I think I go quite medical at times, and I think it's the same with the poo and the ostomies. I think we can really talk if you just actually just get to the point and talk about medical terms in a really comfortable way, but also a humorous way. I think it just allows us to be able to sort of, you know, deal with things that other people don't want to talk about. But I like being friction. I like being awkward. So yeah. I'm sure if anybody Googles Xena Knox, they'll be able to see what the next book is.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. That's absolutely wonderful. Yeah. We'll have to put the shit bag cover on Instagram, because it's really
it's amazing. Yeah, thank you.
I love it. It's basically the promise of our podcast. Is that we want to be loud and, you know, maybe make people feel a little bit uncomfortable about these things that
we
want to
be awkward
about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you know, I love it. And I think like you were saying about rehearsing, I think it is just practicing.
Yeah.
The more and more you do it, the more you realize that these things aren't a big deal, and the people around you get used to you talking about topics that might make them feel uncomfortable. And we've certainly noticed a change in people close to us that they are then more vocal about talking about their bowel or their bladder, or maybe sometimes a bit too much, but for the most part it has a really positive effect, and I think that's amazing.
I would say that's one amazing thing about fiction. It's same with television or film as well, is if you can put somebody else in your body and have them experience and looking out, that's why I think it really has actually connected with Shitbag, is because it's first person. People are actually in main characters, Freya's body, looking out and experiencing it with her. And I think that's really hit quite viscerally for people who are like, oh yeah, I knew about this, but actually I really get it now. So yeah, that's been a really interesting medium to communicate it.
Yeah. And I think you've paired it really well with, there's lots of like, you know, generic teenager experiences, like, you know, your boyfriend breaking up with you or people saying nice things about you behind your back. But then when you kind of go through step by step of her doing her first bag change and how detailed it is, I think because you've paired the two of them together so well, we really do feel like we're learning as we're going and we're getting to know this one person, but this whole issue that affects so many people. Why did you decide to kind of write about the bag change in such detail for her?
I remember that going into the single loo. Like, you know how you have certain snapshots in your life and you remember something? I do remember that room, and I remember going into that loo and having to back up and having to have, they were like checking that I wasn't dehydrated. So I was meant to have peed in this like jug or something like that. And I was like, oh. So I just, it was just something that stuck in my head, and I just thought it was the best way for me to communicate. And she runs her mouth, so it was really nice just having this sort of wandering thoughts. Because I do think in the middle of the night, we've all been there, but if you've been in hospital in the middle of the night, your brain does crazy things, and it is almost like you're on drugs or something, because you're not quite connecting. So this whole sort of running into random directions with her describing things and it being like, I don't know, like an equation or whatever, it just really fits with that slightly adult feeling when you're exhausted, and physically exhausted as well as mentally. So yeah.
What helpful tips would you give to somebody who's wanting to write about their own experiences, about whether it's through fiction or kind of writing the facts for a blog or something like that? What has been your experience of putting your feelings into fiction?
I definitely think you can hide behind the fact that it's fiction based on fact. And I think that's a really great way. I think nowadays, and especially even social media wise, sharing a lot of yourself can be quite difficult, because you might have regret later on and you feel exposed. And I know that quite a lot of authors, if they are basing things on truth, and especially for medical conditions or mental health, etc., that it can feel really exposing. So I think saying it's fiction actually gives you a really amazing guard to be able to say, oh yeah, that bit is fiction, if you really wanted to in the future. So I think it's a great way to actually future-proof you sharing intimate things about your life. And then actually from a writing point of view, my best and favourite thing to do is just like a run-on blurt. And so you do like a first person, and you don't think about where you're going in the story, and just actually, maybe you're caffeinated at the time, maybe you're in a really good mood, maybe you're feeling really energized and you've just got loads of ideas, just put it all out on the page. And I think quite a lot of the time, if you just write it, it turns out there's quite nice, clean, you know, dialogue or story direction, because it's just train of thought going. So if you're able to like write quickly or record yourself speaking and then transpose it, if you find that you speak quicker, and then you can go back and edit it later and add it in. But I think the sitting in front of the laptop or whatever and like writing, I find incredibly slow. And then one other little tip on that is iPhone or whatever your phone is, I can write maybe 1,000-2,000 words with my thumb in the morning, even when I don't get up.
Yeah.
So I can literally just stay in bed maybe till like 11 and I'll just write 2,000 words on my phone. And that tiny screen gets rid of the sort of stress of what am I going to do? But actually means you don't add extra words as well. So all of that, you can then just email it to yourself and then edit it later. So I think there are amazing ways that you can actually get things out of your head quite quickly or whatever suits you, and then make it work around your own writing process. So, yeah.
That's really helpful. I mean, I feel like my thumbs are like absolute ninjas with how much I type it. So I think that would that would definitely make me feel less stressed.
Yeah,
that's my experience too. It's great.
And on the topic of sharing, I know I asked you on our email if you've got any toilet tales that you might like to share with the listeners. Do any come to mind for you?
Yeah, I was saying to my husband, I don't find any of these funny because like it's just trauma.
This is horrible.
But actually yesterday I suddenly thought, oh wait a minute, I was just saying that this should be book two. This should be like my anti-hero sort of equivalent to superhero is the pipe plugger, because I am absolutely amazing at blocking plumbing wherever I go. And it's not because of poo, it's because of the amount of Lural I use.
Talent.
I use so much Lural because...
Oh, I'm the big offender. Me too.
And dinner party, I wasn't going to admit this, but I remember being at somebody's dinner party and it was like really gorgeous house. And I think it flushed, didn't go down that well. And I've stood low of just like in somebody's house and then having to like wash my hands just to unplug the lure up. But the hysterical thing is,
that's not stooping low, that's being considerate.
I grew up on a farm, so I'm just like, I'll deal with it, whatever. What's my hands, I'll wash them.
Get it in.
Yeah. But then me like going back thinking, oh, thank God if I got that flush. But then one of the guys at the dinner party went and did a poo after me and got blamed for completely blocking the whole loo up because his poo obviously didn't flush.
Get in.
Whereas and so to the point that years later, they've always referred to him blocking this like really gorgeous, beautiful house's like plumbing. And I think it was me that did it.
You. I think that's a victory.
And I never admitted it until now.
Sorry, again.
Oops, never mind.
They'll never know. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. Absolutely love it.
I love it. I just love hearing people's stories.
Yeah, fantastic. Awful. It's horrible.
And I believe as well, we should flag that we are... we're doing a giveaway on our social media. I believe we have 5 copies.
Amazing, right? Yes. So,
I think that's right.
5?
It will be. We'll find 5 if we have to. Yeah, that would be great. So I'll link to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, cool.
Perfect. And where can people buy copies of the book as well?
All over the place, actually. My publisher has done an amazing job. Honestly, I'm like random.
Great.
Like, I'm not sure we've even done international rights much, but they seem to be all over the world as well in different bookshops. So pretty much most amazing, you know, independents, mainstream, you know, your usual suspects, Waterstones, Amazon, it's everywhere. And if you are not into reading, I mean, it's on Kindle, but also I absolutely adore audiobooks, and it's on Audible and other audiobook related sites. So yeah,
thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah,
and we'll
put
the giveaway out on the socials.
Thank you so much for having
thanks me thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Xena, warrior princess.
Thank you, Xena. I didn't know that she was Scottish.
Scottish?
Did you think her accent was from Edinburgh? She sounded like Morningside to me.
Oh, you're so good. Go on, do it more.
Just like a little light Morningside accent from Edinburgh. It's like very Miss Jean Brodie. You know, it's light. But it's not like Glasgow, which is like right down there. You know what I'm saying, Ken? Like, I'm fucking gonna, like, literally have a fucking massive go at you. That's like Glasgow, where she was, like, very up here, tip of the tongue, the teeth and the lips. That's what I have to say to get into that accent.
Tip of the tongue.
The tip of the tongue, the teeth and the lips. Right.
Lips.
And the lips here. Hey, you could be a wee old Glaswegian lady that's got no teeth. I got no teeth because I smoked too much crack in the 90s. And the 60s and the 50s.
I don't know how much I should pay for a ticket to this fucked up show, but I should be honest.
That is the fucking title of my autobiography.
Ticket to my fucked up show.
How much should I be paying? This? Oh my God, life is so expensive and I'm not even having a good time.
And that's the sequel too.
Well, thank you so much to Xena.
Thank you, Xena. And I really would recommend everybody to go buy a copy of Shitbag, or even better, enter our giveaway on social media and win yourself a copy.
Oh my God. Sorry, I'm just...
You're right.
Just cleaning your sofa. Because look, so you put your phone down and pick it up and it leaves an outline.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
That's dust.
Is it?
No. Oh. It's just velvet for you, honey. And... please do still write in to us at thepoodcastofficial@gmail.com.
Or get us on social media. We are just, if you search the Poodcast, it'll come up.
You'll find us.
With
don't
the yellow
worry about
guys.
It.
Yeah.
With the mellow yellow guys.
Mellow yellow.
Have a lovely day wherever you are. Don't shit yourself.
Pardon me.
Oh my God.
Sorry
and
not.
If you do, let us know.
Oh yeah. If you shit yourself, you can at least think, well, I've got content.
Yeah. 100 shit yourself. I'm trying to think of a phone call line.
Oh, wait,
0800.
I'm gonna
What would poo be on
P00? Like a
4 00. I guess 4's kind of the wrong way around.
Yeah, I like that. That could also, yeah. I reckon we could achieve shit a bit more readily with like a 5
or
a 4.
IBS 185.
Perfect.
Just call us at 185.
I love that.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.